NASA control says we are go for liftoff. So let me convene the Flood Resilience Committee for Monday, November 6th of Mount Pleasant Town Council. I do want to say this is Mrs. Corley's last meeting, committee meeting. We will miss you.
And it's my favorite committee meeting of all time.
Thank you.
Goodness, I'm going to miss you guys. Thank you so much.
Yep.
It has been just a pleasure and an honor.
Well, thank you for your service. Item two is approval of the minutes, and I think we have a motion.
No, I move for approval. It was a small Scrivener's error. It's already been corrected, and I move for approval.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion carries. Item three is public comments. If you're here with a public comment, please come forward, name and address. 2.5 minutes, please. Anyone to speak? No one? All right, we will close public comments. Move to item four, consideration of recommendations from our Green Commission regarding building practices in flood zones, this otherwise known in other places as fill and build. I think I've heard from staff they had a really good meeting and came up with some good recommendations. Brad, would that be?
Or Kevin, okay. Come up and get right into it.
Yep, happy to. Give you a quick update. Good evening.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Members of the committee. Good to see everyone. We presented this to the Green Commission at their October 7th. Katie Gerling and myself made the presentation. We presented all the background information that was presented previously to you guys. And we provided them with with a direct charge of this slide right here, which is y'all's motion directly to look at the issue of the fill and build within the flood zone areas and also look at the residential low impact development as part of the request. So we made sure we were very clear on y'all's directive to them for what they would like to what they were charged with doing. At the end of our presentation, we also provided them with, just for benefits of discussion, other items to be considered as part of the overall, underneath the umbrella of building and low-lying flood zone areas. We separated them into how we could attack this versus how much long it would take to create something. And first of all, the short-term strategy, something we can do almost immediately. That was the continuation of the FEMA hazard grants for collection of infrastructure. The second one is to explore the ordinance to prohibit the placement of fill no closer than 10 feet from any subdivision. We know that that is the source of a lot of the issues. And also the prohibition of slab and grade building practices. Now that's the short term. That's something we can immediately move forward with. Midterm strategies would be look at the encourage nature-based building practices, implement the residential low-impact development program, which is, of course, going to take a number of meetings and a lot of collaboration with a number of stakeholders. And then lastly, if there were any other mandates, ordinance mandates that needed to be discussed, such as, just as an example, the old village overlay impervious surface. And then the long-term strategy is the sea level rise initiative. And of course, that always involves low-lying areas, flood-prone areas. So we included that as well as an item for discussion, because we know that's talked about a lot and seen a lot in the paper, and there's been, you know, a lot of discussion on that lately, so we didn't want to exclude that, and we feel like that's an important component in the future. So as a long-range issue strategy, we included the sea level rise just for the discussion for the Green Commission. So their specific motion, they had one of two motions. The first one was in regards to the fill and build, to prohibit the slab on grade building practices using the City of Charleston ordinance as an example, with the potential of expanding that into outside areas that are not in the floodplain. The next one is, the next three are supportive of what was brought before them, and that was the support the research of the placement, prohibit fill being no closer than 10 feet. Also, the continuation with the data collection that's ongoing right now. And then lastly is the development and implementation of the residential LID program, and then continuation with the flooding components in the future. That was the first motion that was unanimously approved. And then the second motion addressed the sea level rise. Ms. Johnson moved to recommend the Flood Resiliency Committee explore the development of Sea Level Rise Initiative. It was later amended by Ms. Connolly to add the initiative should be used to support the comprehensive plan flood mitigation recommendations. All were in favor of this second motion as well. So they moved on those two issues. And just as an added summary, just to kind of clean it up for your discussion, the two motions shown here, building practices goes through what we just spoke about, and then also the Sea Level Rise Initiative, just as a summary slab for your convenience here. So that concludes.
Refresh my memory on where the 10 feet from a subdivision perimeter came from.
It actually was something that was discussed internally with staff, including myself, Mr. Morrison. The 10 feet, there's nothing real magical about that 10 feet. We're just drawing from experience of the problems that we've had with subdivisions occurring. And then the 10 feet really came from most new lots have a 20-foot drainage easement.
Right.
So as the lots are filled, the fill goes in 10 feet into the 20-foot drainage easement, leaving another 10 foot for the horizontal movement of the water to each inlet. So that just made all the sense to actually have it codified instead of it just being a design standard, of it just being codified in the ordinance as something that we could hard fast, 10 feet, no fill, and allow for that swell to go lateral to the inlets and not over to the adjacent property.
And that's the fill itself, not just the building part. That's not a slab or a foundation. That's any fill, right, that would be around a dwelling, I'm assuming.
That would be...
It doesn't have to be a dwelling, though, does it?
No, sir. This is for subdivisions that right. were, like, if you're going in and creating a cul-de-sac in the middle of two adjacent properties, typically on the outer perimeters, those are 20-foot easements. Well, we've seen where fill has actually gone up to the actual perimeter of the property, and that does nothing but cast water straight off into the neighbor's property.
Right.
So to correct that, we would have a hard, fast prohibition against moving that fill all the way to the very ends and the outer perimeters of the subdivision and allow that water to be conveyed laterally to the inlets and then through the drainage system away from the adjacent properties. So it just further protects the adjacent properties from that sort of sloppy building practices.
Okay. Can we Ms. Hyatt?
Now, if we prohibited slab on grade building, this recommendation within the 10 feet of the perimeter would still come into play? I mean...
There would be two separate issues.
Mm-hmm.
One is the actual building practice of a vertical building of how you construct a home. The other one more addresses the land development part of a subdivision. So it addresses it in two different directions.
Okay. I like the idea, which I had hoped they would come up with, is expanding it beyond the floodplain when it comes to these fill and build practices. Because it, you know, even if you're not in a floodplain, you eliminate every tree to do this. So I'm not sure what the rest of the committee thinks of the recommendations, but I'm pleased with it.
And that's what I was getting at about the fill. Because sometimes there is no vertical structure, but somebody has filled that causes, I've seen at least a couple that somebody asked me to come out and see that causes a drainage issue. So I think that's good. That's more expansive than just the build part.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. We tried to put everything out on the table for consideration.
Okay.
And it looks like it was a good idea to send it to the Green Commission.
Absolutely.
To get their benefit of their knowledge. They've gotten a lot smarter people than me on that commission. And I'm glad to hear from them.
Let me ask staff, can we go back a couple of screens? We have actual motions from the Green Commission?
Yes, sir. These are verbatim straight from the minutes.
Okay. So, and I guess, Mr. Pecorini, I'm looking for parliamentary advice. These would have, obviously, were made to this committee. A lot of this would be the purview of, or at least the implementation of, the Planning Committee. So in order for us to receive these and then recommend any action, advise us on how we would structure that motion, please.
I think there are a few places it could go. You could have a motion to, again, refer this to any additional committees. You could have a motion for discussion to council. But ultimately, if you want a motion to move forward, I guess I'd have to speak with planning about if there's any requirement for a public hearing. I'm not sure, but I believe they would. So it would ultimately have to go to our planning commission. If this committee would like to send it directly there, we could do that as well.
I guess what I'm thinking is I would like to include, and I know we have representatives, three of the four, of the planning committee, but I don't want to work around the planning committee. I want to work with the planning committee. So could we receive this report and also have this presented to the planning committee? For them to proceed with our recommendation to proceed as appropriate.
Absolutely.
Because then they would probably send it to the Planning Commission. Okay.
Why couldn't we send it to the Planning Commission direct and save a month?
Right.
Is there any reason we couldn't do that?
There's no reason.
I would recommend
okay.
We send it to the Planning Commission for them to do their due diligence, whatever they have to do,
and then bring it back
to the planning committee, and that saves money.
Is
that your motion?
Build that into the motion. Then.
I'll move that we take the recommendations of the Green Commission and forward it to the Planning Commission for implementation.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and we have a second. We are in discussion. Obviously, the natural and probably by ordinance, it goes from the commission to the planning committee anyway.
If it wants to come back to this committee as well, that is easily accomplished. Okay. If you wish for it to come back, then I understand that possibly things may be different if it's on the contract.
Right. All right, but the motion is to the Planning Commission.
And then it could come back to both.
I agree.
Planning Committee and Flood Resiliency Committee on the same month.
Sounds good. Okay.
That way we're not holding it back. We're moving it forward.
All right. Ms. Hyatt?
It says with the potential for expansion beyond the floodplain in the future, so... I mean, we may get a recommendation mm-hmm. from the commission to go ahead and do that.
Right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Pecorini. So we have a motion. We have a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing that go to the planning commission. Item five, if there is no further business, we have completed our agenda and we will stand adjourned. Thank you.